Okay, we'll go ahead and take a minute to dismiss children for Children's Church. So anyone 4 years old up through second grade, you can head upstairs at this time. This morning's message, I'm going to be speaking on God's help. And so it only seems fitting that today I'm going to get a little bit of help from these. So I don't know what has happened in the world in the last 6 months or so, but everyone, everywhere has started writing very small letters everywhere. So rather than maybe try to ask the world to change everything they're doing, I'm just going to get a little help from this here, and we'll go with it at that. So we're speaking this morning on the subject of God's help. God's help. If you've ever had the privilege of calling a customer service helpline, you know that can go one of two ways. You could come off of that helpline feeling maybe a little dumber, certainly very much more frustrated and realizing that you had no help whatsoever, or it could go well and you get the help that you need, you get exactly what you asked for, and you come off having been helped. Just a couple of months ago, I suspected that our credit card number had been stolen and that there was some fraudulent activity on it that tipped me off that I was getting some charges from Chewy.com that sells, you know, pet stuff, and we don't have a pet, so I'm like, I don't think that we were buying anything from Chewy.com. So I called the credit card company, and the man was very, very helpful. Helped me in just about every way with every question. In fact, he was suggesting things I didn't even know I needed. He said, we'll give you provisional credit on your card until this is resolved. And he said, would you like me to cancel that card? I will help you. I will send very quickly another card to you. We will, you know, expedite that overnight. I said, sure, that would be very helpful. When we get done with the call, you know, he says, is there anything else that I can do for you? There was really nothing for me to say. When you have been helped, I just said, no, you've taken care of everything. Thank you. That was very helpful. Did exactly what I was needing. You took care of everything. You know, we'll be talking this morning about not help from a credit card company, not help from a pair of glasses or anything like that, but help from God. Help from God himself. There's an Old Testament word that is often used for help. It's pronounced either azer or ezer, depending on how it's in construct with the prefix on the words. But you can probably hear this come through in some names that we know. Ebenezer, the last part of that being ezer, help. That is the stone of helping. When the prophet Samuel had help from the Lord to defeat the Philistines, he put some stones there and he called it the stone of help. This was a memorial to the Lord, so he called it Ebenezer. And then probably one of my favorite constructs of this in the Old Testament comes from Moses when he named one of his sons Eleazar. Eleazar, God is my help. If you remember the story of Moses, he fled from Pharaoh who had threatened his life. And over 40 years later, this is what's amazing about this story, over 40 years of time had passed. God had been faithful to spare Moses' life. He has a son, and he names that son Eleazar. God was my help. And I'm remembering that from even long ago. It has lived with me ever since. And now the son, every time he says his name, Eleazar, God is my help, he memorialized it in the naming of his son. So we see that idea coming up again and again in the Old Testament. We'll be looking at this idea this morning of God being our help. Brothers and sisters, we are a people in need. You don't have to live very long on this earth. Realize that we are a needy people. We're needy emotionally. We're needy physically. We're needy spiritually most of all. This life in this earth is a struggle. We are a needy people. Praise the Lord, we have a God who is a God of help. Doesn't that just seem to fit together? We are a people of need. He is a God of help. We will but ask him and trust him for the help that he gives to us. When we approach the topic of God being our help, our posture then must be that we admit that we need God's help. does no good for us to think that we have it all to ourselves, we have everything figured out. You know, you can struggle through this life on your own, but it will be a life of dark. It will be a life of lost. It will be a life of no help. I still even remember back to, I believe, the time the Lord called me unto himself as an 18-year-old. And my simple prayer back then was this: I am done living this life on my own. It was a struggle. It was a constant struggle. It was a dark struggle. It was a hard struggle. So there must be a posture of us to come to the Lord to say, that is not the way I want to live this life, lost and on my own and having it all, the burden all on my shoulders. But instead, that we posture, Lord, would you be my help? Would we go through this life not in darkness but in light, not on our own but with the Lord, not in weakness but in strength, because God is our help. That must be our posture. We think of God as our help. And then maybe secondly, we could say this. Our posture must be to remain in that help. I think this is probably the hardest of all of what we're going to say about this morning, especially for the Christian, that we don't just call on God when one thing is difficult and then not call on him again for another 3 months until we get in a jam again, but to wake up daily and to remain in that need, to lean on God who delights to give us help, that we would lean on him as he delights to give us help. So we come to a God who's willing. We come to a God who is inviting us to trust him for help. He helps us in great ways. He helps us in small ways. You know, one of the things I love about this church is that there's hardly a week that goes by where I don't have someone call me on the phone, text me, have a conversation, you know, just passing through life, that they don't say something like this. Now, God helped me. I called to him, I prayed, or I asked the church to pray, and I tangibly see the way that the Lord has come through and provided help to me. What a great celebration of strength that we have, brothers and sisters. When we call to the Lord for help and he helps us, there's nothing that we have done. It is all of him. You know, we heard during the Sunday school hour of a couple of opportunities that Jeff Waller shared of how there was a need. There was no understanding. No one could see the way that God would meet that need. They called to the Lord for help, and then there's no explanation for it other than that the Lord came through with help. At that point, we have to just drop our own arms and drop our own pride and say, this was nothing but God and him alone. What sweet times of praise, what sweet times of worship we have when we acknowledge and call to and praise the God who has helped us. Maybe even after today, you might want an exercise this afternoon where you just sit down and recall the ways that God has helped you in life and draw strength from that. The Lord says he's our helper, and so we conclude that he delights to help us. If he says he's our helper, our only conclusion can be that he actually delights in helping his people. Just simply titled this morning's message, The Excellency of God as Our Help. The Excellency of God as Our Help. There's no greater subject that we can study than God. There's no greater thought that we can think of God than his excellencies and all that he is. And especially this morning, we want to zero in on just one passage of scripture. It's a couple of verses long. We're just going to zero in on these three verses, but we are going to take into our minds this morning this idea that God is a ready and willing help. That should certainly stir within us, am I calling on this one? Am I calling on this God who stands ready to help? Psalm 33, we'll look at a couple of verses, just 20, 21, and 22. We'll be looking at actually the end of this psalm. So I want to give a little context just to what all of the rest of this psalm is all about. If you take all 150 psalms together, that entire book of psalms, it's often been referred to as Israel's hymn book. Those were certainly written, many of them to be sung or to be recited back and forth. And so really it would have been an ancient hymn book for the nation of Israel. But Psalm 33, where we'll be today, it's a little bit of a different psalm. It has more of a global address, has more of a global tone and pattern to it. It doesn't speak specifically of Israel and the things that the Lord has done specifically for Israel. It broadens out. And so this psalm that we'll be looking at today, it calls on all nations and all generations and all people everywhere to praise God. It has this very global, to the ends of the earth feel. This is Psalm 33. Interestingly, the opening verses of Psalm 33 say this, that we are to sing unto the Lord a new song. One writer said of it this way, there's always room for a fresh voice to praise an old gospel. Isn't that a neat thing? There's always room. If we're going to sing a new song, there's always room for a fresh voice to join in the old gospel. Maybe that might even be true of you here today. You've never called on the Lord to save your soul from sins, trusting in Jesus Christ alone. There is always room for a new voice, a fresh voice, to praise an old gospel that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and those who trust in Him and Him alone be saved and restored in relationship to God. There is always room for a fresh voice to sing the old gospel. Here's a brief outline. We're not going to walk all through Psalm 33, but let me give it to you in about a 10-second nutshell here. The first three verses are a call to sing. It's a call to praise the Lord. Verses 4 through 19 recall all of God's works and His words, who He says He is, who He has revealed Himself to be, and the things that He has done. It is all the testimony, all the evidence that God is exactly who He says He is, that He can do what He says He will do, and that He is good. He is a good and righteous God. That's verses 4 through 19. Finally, we will spend our time zeroing in on these final three verses, verses 20, 21, and 22. And here's what these verses entail. Wait and trust in the Lord of help. It's a response. It's at the end of the psalm as you are called to praise, you recall all that God has done. The response at the end of the psalm is, wait and trust in the Lord to help. And it's going to walk us through how to do this here in Psalm 33. Let's take a look at our first point. This comes out of verse 20. It is this, if we think about help from God, the first aspect of God's help to us is this. It involves waiting. Our help from God involves waiting. Look with me at Psalm 33, verse 20. Scripture says this, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Now, the first thing I'll say is this. There are dozens and dozens of references to God being our help all throughout Scripture. We are zeroing in on this one reference here today. It would be a great study for you to do, to look at all of the different references throughout the way that God tells us, call unto me and I will answer you. You know, look to me as your help and guide, your strength and shield. It's peppered throughout the Scriptures. But here today we have this. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our verse here very directly and clearly states that the Lord is our help and our protection, our shield. Think of that in the old warrior ages. It's something that is protecting, something that you can hide behind from the enemy, arrows or spears. He is our help and our shield. We don't need to look very far for our understanding of help. It's not a very complicated definition. Help is just simply to assist in time of need. Maybe, just maybe, the most often repeated and often used prayers throughout all of human history has been this, God, help me. God, help me. No matter if a person is religious or irreligious, that is a prayer that has probably been prayed by so many down through the ages. God, help me. Help me. To aid in time of need. We as humans are frail and we are limited. God is the source and He is the supply of our strength. Now, God's assistance to us covers a couple of different aspects, emergency and everyday situations. We can cry to God urgently and immediately for help. We also can just ask for common, what we might even consider to be simple, everyday scenarios. God is a God of help in both the great and the small. The Lord delights to lend aid. The Lord delights to assist his people. And there's an element of fellowship and communion with God in all of this. And I don't want to simplify this, and I certainly don't want to demean what I'm trying to get at here, but if you can just imagine or suppose two men in a fishing boat for just a moment. The one man is at the front of the boat. He is the one that's doing the casting and the fishing. The man at the back of the boat is facilitating it and assisting. He's running the motor, and he's putting the boat to where it needs to be, and he's helping the one in the front do what he needs to do. Now, I'm certainly, by using this illustration, I'm not saying that God exists for our purposes. He isn't just there to give us everything we need and to make our lives wonderful in every way. But there is an element of continual fellowship and communion in everyday help and emergency help. So if we use that boating illustration for just a moment, maybe the everyday help, the gentleman at the front of the boat, might swing his pole around and say, hey, could you untangle the knot that's on the end? And the person at the back of the boat would do that. Or maybe say, hey, could you throw me a Gatorade out of the cooler back there? Something like that. This everyday assistance, this everyday help to be able to do what they were going to do. But then there are those times of emergency. What if the gentleman at the front of the boat capsized and went over and was in the water struggling and saying, help me! Would you help me? I'm drowning. Or I need help back in the boat. That there is this element with God's help that he comes to us in the mundane and the everyday. And there's a sweet fellowship with that. There's also this aspect of help when we are in dire straits, when it's emergency and we can do nothing else but just cry out, God, would you help me? For our Christian walk of faith, God is our constant help. Now, what causes these needs for help? Why are these things in our lives anyway? Why do struggles come up in our lives anyway? What are the things that cause us to need help in the first place? If we're going to be people who are dependent upon the Lord for help, we must understand this. The Lord has providentially allowed situations into our lives for the purposes of working out our maturity and our good. There's nothing in your life, even the struggles of life, that the Lord hasn't providentially allowed. Now, often we think that the help that God wants to give us is to just get rid of whatever is difficult. You know, the Lord has much greater purposes in our difficulties than just to get rid of it. To depend upon him, to have fellowship with him, to mature in this life. We might not often think about it this way, but consider the fact that God carefully screens out and withholds situations from us that would be too overwhelming, too great for us to bear. You know, it's very possible that maybe some serious accident has been kept from you because it would be too difficult or too heavy for you to bear. Maybe you've been unknowingly spared by God from a harmful person in your life because it would be too overwhelming. And certainly we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God turns aside certain temptations in our lives that would be too great for us to handle. So knowing that we have been spared certain things in this life informs us that every scenario that actually does come through the grid of God, this filter of God, every scenario that does come to us is providentially there, and it's been providentially allowed to grow us as we wait on God for help. There's nothing in your life that has taken God by surprise. He says, I'm here to help. We will but see that we are needy and call on him. We keep in mind that our waiting involves conversation and fellowship with the Lord until he acts. So here, there's a couple of just nuances with this help involving waiting. We wait for the Lord to act, and we wait with him. We wait with the Lord himself. We don't know how long it might take for him to act. You know, in Abraham's case, it was over 20 years till the Lord came through to help when they gave birth to Isaac. But then we have an example in Acts chapter 12 where there was a prayer meeting gathering, and the prayer meeting hadn't even been done yet. They were praying for Peter's release from prison. And before the prayer meeting was even over, there was a knock at the door, and Peter was there. The Lord had answered that prayer. He'd come to their help within moments. So we don't know how long it might be till the Lord chooses to act on our behalf, but we wait on the Lord's help. But here's the beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. He doesn't leave us alone. We wait on him, but we wait with him. God is not impersonal in those moments when we cry for help. God is not abandoning us while we are waiting for him to act. It's not like going to the DMV where you take a number and then find a corner and just sit there for a while till you wait what seems like an eternity to get to a helpful window. That's not how God does this. We don't cry out to him for help and he says, oh, take a number and sit over there. He actually waits with us in fellowship while we are waiting for him to act. He waits with us. We fellowship with him while we wait for his perfect timing, while he has done his perfect work in us. That's verse 20. Let's take a look at our second point here this morning in verse 21. There's a second aspect to this help. As we think about God being our help also involves trusting. It's not just waiting. We call out, we wait, we fellowship with the Lord in that wait, but there's also this aspect of trusting. Look with me in verse 21. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Our heart is glad in him. You know, I wonder if you've ever had to trust someone who wasn't a good person or someone that you didn't like. You know, maybe you've had to work with someone at your place of work. They have a bad reputation, but you have no choice. You have to trust them on some level. You have to work with them. Or maybe you've had to purchase an item from a store where you've had a bad experience. You wish you didn't have to do it, but there were no other options. And so you're trusting in this exchange. You're trusting in this relationship or on some level here, but you're certainly not glad in it. It doesn't conjure up any good feelings of gladness. But think about this for just a moment, what this verse is saying. Our trust for help is in the one whose name is holy. Our trust for help is in the one who has a great name and who has a great reputation. And so our hearts are strengthened with gladness to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord whose name is holy and who has a reputation for following through on his word every time. This makes our heart glad. Trust this one. It's good not only to think about our need for help, but to also think about the one who delivers that help to us. His name is the Lord. His reputation and his name is great. This is the God who told the Israelites as they stood on the shores of the Red Sea, stand there and watch me work. God split the sea in half and let them follow and pass through on dry ground. This is the God that our hearts are glad to trust in because of his name, his great name. This is the God who kept fire from burning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel when they were thrown into the fiery furnace and God miraculously superseded and kept them from being burned. This is his name. This is his reputation. Our hearts are glad to trust in this one. This is the God who filled the widow's basket with flour and her jug with oil and never let it run dry. This is the God in whom we delight and are glad to trust in. This is the God who gave his one and only Son to fulfill the law that we could not fulfill, to die a substitutionary death, and be lifted from the grave. This is the God whom our heart is glad in him as we trust. This is not like pulling teeth. This is not like difficult trust, but brothers and sisters, we gain strength as we sit and we realize that we are restful because we're putting our trust in this God, the one whose name is great, the one whose name is holy. It is a glad trust to look to our God for help. Finally, we come to verse 22. Our last verse here as we wrap up Psalm 33. When we think about God as our help, this involves waiting, it involves trusting, and it also involves hoping. So as we confidently expect God's help, we rest in the security of his love. Look with me at verse 22 as we end this psalm. Let your steadfast love, that is the covenant love, the unfailing love of God, let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us. Now let it be like an umbrella that is just over us, always upon us, even as we hope in you. Even as we hope in you. As we look to God for his help, it's not just an empty trust. It's not looking to a God that is about to do something for the very first time. It's not an empty look. It's not like, well, I've never seen this before. God's never answered a prayer before. He's never come through on a statement of his trust before. So I'm kind of wishfully hoping that this might happen. No, this hope is an expected confidence. This is a God who brings all of his reputation and his name and his power and his history of helping people with him. And this is a God who loves even during the wait. This is a confident hope. It's a confident expectation that God alone is the source of help. He is the one doing it. And God alone is the supply of help. He delivers the very actions that will help us. And he delights in the role as our help and our shield. We're probably most familiar with a type of hope that we would maybe associate with a little bit more of a wish. And this type of hope is fretful. It's a wish, but kind of a fretful wish. You know, I hope the car doesn't break down. I hope the bill doesn't come before my paycheck comes. I hope that this person doesn't do this or that. And it's a fretful wish. This is altogether different. When we see the ask and the request here, Lord, let your steadfast love be upon us as we hope in you, it's an altogether different hope. It's a confident hope. It's a restful hope, knowing that God's unfailing love continues to rain down on us as we wait. We're never left alone. You say, is there waiting? Does the Lord call on us to wait at times, even when we ask for help? He does. But he doesn't leave us. And his love never stops raining down on us. Let your love, O Lord, be upon us continually, forever. We are hoping for help. We are waiting for help. But all the while, we realize that, God, your steadfast, your covenant love surrounds us. It envelops us the entire time. What a great thing this is, that God's continued care. You say, yeah, but I'm waiting over here for this thing. And it's a big thing, and it's a nagging thing, and it's a struggle. God does not cease to continue loving us all the while as we wait. Many songs throughout the ages have been written about God as our help. I think of a classic hymn just simply titled, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. O God, Our Help in Ages Past. It is good to recall God's help for his saints in ages past. This is one of the reasons why I love reading Christian biographies, because you can walk through their life and you can see, look how the Lord was faithful. Look how the Lord was faithful. This is why we pour into the scriptures and we see in an inspired way, look how God was helpful. Look how the Lord was helpful to them. It is good to think of God, our help in ages past. But it is even better to remember that his help is repeated to us. His help is for 2022. His help just wasn't for ancient times. Oh God, our help in ages past, yes. But oh God, our help right now, repeated in this church, repeated in my family, repeated in our times. We don't just look at old stories. We must review our own diaries. This is the God who helps and who helps us. As we close this morning, can I just ask a couple of questions? Friend, do you find yourself in a situation today needing God's help? Are you praying about it? Or are you just remaining in the dark, resting on your own strength and own abilities? Your struggles, bring them to the Lord. He is a God of help, and he is willing and inviting to help you with your need. Are you also looking expectantly to the Lord? In our prayers, maybe you've lost some of that trust and that faith. Are you looking expectantly to the Lord of help? And are you glad as you trust in him? Are you glad that he is a God who is trustworthy? Are you glad in his character? Are you glad in his power? Are you glad in his goodness? Are you glad in his abilities? Are you glad in what he has done in your life so far up to this point? Is your waiting a glad waiting? Consider God's posture towards you. If you're a Christian here today, he has already helped you with your greatest need in Christ. There was a chasm and a separation between sinful person and holy God, and Christ has helped that by his death on the cross. God has already helped you with your greatest eternal need of sin in washing it away, bringing you into fellowship with Almighty God forevermore. He's already helped you in your greatest need, but he has also given us help in the person of the Holy Spirit. He has brought his Spirit into us to guide us and to help us. So since he is the God of help, and since he never lifts his love away from us, and since he never leaves us, can we say, if you can put up that last slide of Hebrews 13, can we say with the writer of Hebrews 13 that God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you? So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Brothers and sisters, he is a God of help. We are a people of need. And so we ask him, and we trust him, and we do it gladly because of who he is. Let's close our time this morning in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truths that you give us in your word. We need to hear often, regularly, that you are and you alone are our help. Father, you help us spiritually, you help us physically, you help us in our unknowns, you help us in our future, you help us by guiding us, you help us with decisions that need to be made. May we as a church encourage one another, and may we as a church grow in our dependence and our leaning on you for the help that you are in all things, great and small. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.